We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Welcome to hour number two, Mustard and Johnson, working our way inexorably toward 11 o'clock. Trenny and Tomasi live from Fenway. We've kind of been splitting the discussion between Hanley and the Celtics. Red Sox, of course, in a move that I don't think anybody anticipated, Larry, in spite of his, what, 230 average, six home runs and 30 RBIs. Very hot start to the season, has cooled off considerably. I don't think a lot of people figured that Hanley Ramirez would be gone by the end of May. We didn't anticipate that he'd be back next year with a vesting option and everything else, but kind of early to pull the trigger on Hanley, wouldn't
you say? Well, it was kind of predicated with the return of Pedroia, and they had to make a roster move. There were other things they could have done, but they just decided to get rid of Hanley, which I don't understand. I really don't. Well, I understand down the road if you don't want to pay him for next year, but there's certain different ways you could have done that.
Well, Rob Bradford will be clarifying, I'm sure.
I'm just glad Cora made the decision.
I mean, he's taking control of the team in his first 2 months as the skipper of the Red Sox. He's now making roster moves. He's initiating roster moves, according to Dave Dombrowski, who said the vesting option in the $22 million that would kick in a fifth contract year next year, 2019, had absolutely nothing to do with it. We just needed more at-bats for Mitch Moreland.
But the other problem is, aside from Shaughnessy and stuff, there's really nobody with any venom that goes after these teams anymore when they do some of the things that they do. We were talking about it off the air about how many great columnists are there still around, and not that many. They don't go after these teams like
Well, I will say this. Did you hear the news conference live yesterday?
No.
No, it was on about 3 o'clock. We had it. And the first question posed was by Johnny Miller. And Johnny Miller.
My man.
Yeah, he listens to the show. Johnny, I love the question. And Johnny had, you could see the, you could almost sense and feel the sarcasm in Johnny Miller's voice. Do you mean to say there's no financial aspect to this decision at all? And Dombrowski says, no, there's nothing financial about it. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, who is supposed to believe that? Are we that stupid? We're going to believe that Alex Cora initiated this decision? In a perfect world, you'd like to believe that the manager and the general manager are on the same page. They're working together in concert.
How high do you think that decision came?
I don't think it's John Henry this time.
You don't?
I don't think he'd want to pull the trigger now. Why would you want to do it now?
Well, why did he allow him to do it then?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And I can't buy at face value this notion that Mitch Moreland is so instrumental and indispensable that you just have to give him more.
But I don't think Moreland's a bad guy. I like him.
Right.
There were other moves, the Swihart move. There were other moves you could have made.
Right. Did you need to keep Swihart on the 25-man roster? Is that essential at this point? I am just afraid if you're a Red Sox fan, with the one guy who has performed in the postseason and on a team that's won one game in the postseason in the last couple of years, despite back-to-back AL East championships, the one guy who's come through, one guy who's played well against the Yankees, you still forget about the postseason for a second. Do you really want to be a wild card team having to play the other wild card team in a one-and-done elimination scenario? You don't want that, Larry.
I mean, who's the other guy? Nunez, was it?
They could
have put him on a 2 week or designated,
right.
Physically unable to perform. He's been banged up.
And, you know, again, the party line was, well, we wouldn't want Hanley to be sitting because he's not a person that really responds well to not getting his at-bats. I think any player.
See,
would
the problem is you got
the same way.
Martinez, and if you don't DH him, which is what Hanley does, where are you going to play him? You put him in the outfield, and I'll tell you one thing, they go from one of the best outfields in the league to an okay one, I think, if you have to move them around.
Well, let's face it. If you want, and I understand that, you know, he is such a Jekyll and Hyde hitter in JBJ. But is as much as you love his offense, is it defense? Is it really worth having this anemic offensive player at the plate four times?
But I'm
a
saying
game?
They had other options. I wouldn't have liked dumping Bradley either. They had other options.
Well, they have. It's a very good problem to have. It's a team laden with talent. We understand that. J.D. Martinez has been a tremendous acquisition. He's been everything that fans would hope for and more, because there were a lot of skeptics. A lot of people didn't think this guy was worth, was it, $22, $23 million a year coming out of the National League, but he has responded well. He has made Hanley, at least for the moment, dispensable. But I'm just wondering.
I just want to know how internally, like, do the players still look at Cora the same way after this move?
Do they? The question is, do they really believe it was Cora's move? I mean, if that's what Dave Dombrowski told the media yesterday, do the players also have that same perspective?
If it's not his move. And he just went along with it. That's not going to play that well in the clubhouse.
Yeah, but I think the players understand how baseball franchises run. And we all know now in the modern age of baseball, these decisions are made by the general manager. The manager really doesn't have a say-so. And maybe this is Dombrowski's
way. Well, Cora's coming out and saying this is his say-so.
I'm just telling you what he's saying. Right. I mean, it would be nice if they were working in tandem and they were making a decision that they felt was best for the team in concert. But that's usually not the way these working relationships and dynamics go. All right, we're going to talk to Bradford at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, the Sage of Everett. Tom, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Craig, Larry.
Hey, Tom, I hope you're well.
Very well.
Long time no hear, man. Where you been?
I've been out on various lacrosse fields and chasing my three grandchildren around.
Wow.
And plus with that idiotic station you work for, only having you guys on 2 hours, I don't want to go into that, but Larry, let me ask you a question. In all seriousness, if this team wasn't wearing Celtics uniforms, all right,
yep.
How much of this play, I mean, other than certain games in the Philly series, how much entertainment value has there been in this playoffs?
I think considering who they are wait a minute.
No, this is great.
In the young
how much entertainment?
Yeah, well,
just answer the question.
Listen, did you expect them to be where they are now?
I'm trying to understand why you won't answer that. This playoff has been one of the worst. The only thing worse than this is watching the – have you watched the Houston Rockets?
Oh, instead awful.
Instead of torture that the Marine, whatever they used down in Cuba.
That water thing.
Have people have to watch the Houston Rockets.
I heard you were Harden man.
I beg your pardon?
Harden or Chris Paul, they stand at the top of the key, they dribble for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the other night, Houston did not score for the first 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and they still won.
They won the
game. I know. They were down 12-0 in the first 6 minutes.
And what's great is they say, oh, what defense? Defense, all these teams do is rifle up three-pointers. They either go in or they don't. And the defense is you stand there and look at them while they take their three.
Now, Harden is just, for me, aesthetically, I just cannot stand it as any kind of basketball purist. If you enjoy the game, you don't have to be an old.
I cannot even explain that guy as a basketball player. There was a point where he missed 18 straight threes.
Mm.
And the whole time he knows anytime he goes, people talk about LeBron. Anytime he goes to the basket, if it doesn't go in, the refs call a foul. It is just It is like the worst thing you could possibly
do. Yeah, but I would say this in defense of LeBron. Superstars are getting calls for time immemorial.
LeBron's getting his arms ripped off.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Hey, listen.
I don't understand it.
Hey, I got to ask you about Hanley while I got.
Let me tell you. There must be something with me about anybody named Ramirez.
Yeah.
I just could not ever stand any of them being on the Red Sox. But having said that, this gentleman has been your number three hitter the whole year. You got off to a historic start.
Yeah, they were 16-2 at one point, I do recall.
First place. Mm. And then you say, see you later.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's something we haven't brought up. Not only are you getting rid of your third hitter, who was 591 against the Astros last year, this is not a team scuffling in the middle or the bottom of the division. They're on fire. They're still playing great baseball, six out of their last seven. How is Hanley preventing all this success from happening?
And to top it off, Craig, let's go a step further. Cora is interviewed about Swihart and other people on the team. They ask him, what's Swihart's best position? He says, catcher.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I hate to bring up something that was a long time ago when it's in the National League. You guys probably don't remember this. I was down in New York covering it. The Mets in that 86 season, we don't want to really talk about the 86 season so much, but they won 108 games in the regular season. Do you remember that year, Tom?
Absolutely.
Obviously, you remember the World Series and all the disasters
and
that
the
unfolded here.
Against Houston.
Right, but they were the dominant team in the league all year, and they got rid of their highest-paid player, George Foster. Remember George Foster?
Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, they signed him 3 or 4 years earlier. He didn't quite live up to the expectations. For the 1980s, he was making a lot of money, and they just cut him. It was like late May and early June, and they went on to win 108 games, and unfortunately, they did win the World Series that year.
Yeah,
so this is a similar move.
I don't know who went in, but someone must have gone in to replace him that was
Lee Mazzilli. But, I mean, Lee Mazzilli was a journeyman player at that point.
Okay. But the question for the day, Tom, is did Cora make the – who made the call?
Larry.
In his second month. Yeah.
His nose would stock. I mean, to top it off, instead of just saying – you know, we have to take everything into consideration, and, you know, you just move on from the question. To suggest that vesting option had nothing to do with it.
Right, and Johnny Miller, that was the very first question that was asked, and it was immediately dismissed. Don't they call that perjury in a court of law, Tom?
It's unbelievable. I mean, but, you know, again, you don't want to beat up on because, what the heck, the owner owns the Globe. I mean, you know, You say, Larry, how many people out there, you know, criticize the team. I mean, to top it off, they're in first place.
Right.
I mean, to talk about a surprise, I think they're doing much better than I thought they would do. Like you said, J.D. Martinez, he's probably more than what was advertised. I never expected this.
No, and a lot of people thought they were wasting their money on a guy like that. They thought he'd be another Hanley or another Panda.
Oh, my God, this is just a reaction to Stanton. There's no way this is going to work.
Right.
He's been unbelievable. But to just, I don't know, typically, if this were the Patriots, I would be positive there was something else to this story, whether Hanley went in and said, I'm not getting my innings. I want, you know, if you're not going to play me, you know, let me get at it. But he's been playing. This makes no sense at all in the big scheme of things.
And you never know because this guy is capable of doing some very good things at the bat, at the plate. And you never know, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Tom, good hearing
from you. When Hanley's going to hit a hot streak. He had a hot streak against the Astros. Wasn't enough to win him a series, but you need that bat in the postseason or even in a wild card scenario. I just think they're flirting with disaster on that one. Jay in Fall River, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. What's going on,
Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
All right, so conspiracy theory.
Mm-mm.
All right, hear me out.
Okay.
So you move Hanley.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to DH Swihart. Because right now, not only do we have a liability in center field, we also have a liability at third base. Granted, I know Devers is young, 21 years old, but right now he leads the league with 11 errors, and the Sox have moved down to 10th in fielding percentage.
And he's hitting 233.
Correct. So My theory is you're going to showcase Swihart, right? You got to get rid of JBJ, and you have a liability at third base. They're going to go after Machado. That's the only thing I can make light of this. They're going to go after Machado.
What is that? Why would you get rid of JBJ?
He's going to be a throw-in for Machado.
Oh, okay.
Larry does not want to part with JBJ. You want to find any way you can.
I like
can.
The defense.
Yeah, but Larry, it's just not enough.
It's a liability at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the AL East, you got the Yankees who are just a wrecking crew. You're going to need some offense, and you're going to need it in the postseason, too, against the Astros and the Yankees. I don't think you can count
they
on Jackie
offense.
Bradley Jr.
They had offense. Yeah, they got rid of him.
Makes sense to me, Jay. Thanks for the call. 617-779-7937. We'll take one more before we go to the break. It's Steve in Waltham. What's happening, Steve?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, there's so much on the table, and you guys really need to be here for more than 2 hours, but I want to talk about the Hanley Ramirez. You know, I've been watching baseball for many years, and very few things surprise me. Well, when I saw that he was DFA'd yesterday, I was shocked. I mean, you know, it basically came down to this, okay? You decided you want to keep Brock Holt on your roster instead of Hanley Ramirez, your three-hitter, your clutch postseason hitter, your Yankee killer, because you didn't want to pay $22 million. You have a general manager who's been doing this forever, and he's saying that Cora, a rookie manager, made this decision? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, be like, imagine Aaron Boone walking into Brian Cashman's office. You know this Stanton guy, he's not going to hit his 59 home runs this year. He's really just kind of he's an albatross in the middle of the lineup. Let's see if we can get rid of him, designate him for assignment so we can get more at-bats for you name him. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
A head scratcher, and this is all about money for a team that already is eating a couple contracts already, essentially Castillo and Pablo Sandoval. It's like, oh, let's eat one more, why not? You know, we have the highest payroll in the
league. $45 million in dead money.
Hey, at least they got rid of Alan Craig's contract at this point. The highest paid minor league player in the history of the game.
You're carrying essentially three catches, okay? Swihart, I mean, they make this guy out to be like he's a rookie phenom. If he hasn't made it by now, okay, he's a rookie phenom, okay? And I tell you right now, thank goodness the Celtics are in the playoffs right now, because Red Sox fans should be more enraged about this than I'm hearing out and about. They're like, oh, yeah, no big deal. He's been a bum, all right? Well, he's been your only postseason hitter. And Shaughnessy made the line of the day in his article. He says, so who would you like to see face C.C. Sabathia in the playoffs? Hanley Ramirez or, I don't know, JBJ or something like that? I don't know. You could have put Benintendi out in center field, okay? You could have put Martinez.
Mookie can play center field. Anybody can play.
Ramirez been your DH. Yeah.
Okay, hey, you like Cora in this?
Do I like Cora in this? What do you mean?
With this decision.
I no. If you are in that clubhouse playing for Cora, you're scratching your head right now. You're like, you just took a big bat out of our lineup. And why did you do that? Cora is covering for somebody. And you know what? I'm sorry. John Henry has to be involved.
Maybe I asked Craig that, and Craig doesn't think so.
No, I do.
I do.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on that.
Yeah. Why would Dombrowski make this decision on his own?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Steve. We're going to get all the answers to this. We're going to unravel this entire enigma known as the Hanley Ramirez riddle, coming up at about 10:30 or so, right after the break. Rob Bradford in the house. I thought we were going to be talking to him by telephone, but he is going to be live in the studio with all the answers coming up right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
For us, it really is a baseball move, one that I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits handling on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time. And so he said, this is something that I'd recommend us doing.
Dave Dombrowski meeting the media yesterday. You heard it here live on Sports Radio WEEI. So, Rob Bradford, You believe anything the Double D says in that news conference?
Yeah, well, you have to kind of pick through it. And I believe that the part that was important when what he said was when he said, I don't think Hanley would handle this well.
Sitting on the bench.
Because this is for me, this is the crux of the matter. Number one, they evaluated that Hanley wasn't going to get better. He wasn't going to get like he was in April. All right, that's fair. That's your evaluation. But the biggest thing is that normally you would let a guy try to work it out through June, maybe even July, figure it out. I wrote this. I go back to Manny Ramirez, and I'm not comparing Manny Ramirez and Hanley Ramirez because they have the same last name. It is because these guys, when you're talking about options, whether it's vesting options or player options or team options, they get consumed by them. And they knew that this was going to be around the corner with Hanley Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it. Alex Cora was right in the middle of the Hanley Ramirez, the Manny Ramirez stuff in 2008.
Yeah.
How many plate appearances did Ramirez have to date?
He had just under 200.
That many?
Yeah. I mean, he was...
He's on pace, right?
Think about it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, think about it. He was cruising through April. And this wasn't even a conversation. It was... He's going to get his plate appearances, but that's okay because he's really good. He's saying he's better than ever, doing the TB12 bands and blah, blah, blah. And he was. He was really, really good. But then he kind of fell off a cliff.
But because he falls off the cliff in May, you're allowed to have a bad month. We know he's capable, as you just said, Rob. Why couldn't he bounce back with a good June, good July? You got a lot of games left against the Yankees in the regular season, and those games really do matter.
Yeah, no.
This year.
So this comes back to my point, which is you're right. Normally you would say, let's play this out, let's see if he bounces back. But the minute that you draw back on plate appearances, any hint of it, these guys
Gets in their head, right?
get obsessed with it. Yeah. And it's not only Hanley, it's like going back to Pedro in 2003. For whatever reason, they become obsessed with it, and it takes a hard turn. You guys remember that Manny in 2008.
Oh, awful.
It was awful, but it was great up until the end of May. And then he started thinking about the contract extension, wasn't going to get it for the next 2 years, the Jack McCormick thing. I remember talking to him at the All-Star game in July, and he starts ripping the ownership group. And so it just became off the rails. I'm not saying that it would go that far off the rails with Hanley, but when they talk about this stuff in regards to Hanley and he wouldn't accept the role, that's not – Dombrowski and Cora both said this. We don't think that he would really be this type of guy who would accept this sort of role. What they're saying is we are nipping this in the bud right now because we know that if he's a pinch hitter, if he's a platoon player, and you have that option, that vesting option of 497 plate appearances – it's not going to go well for this clubhouse.
All right, I'll buy that, but I cannot buy that Alex Cora initiated all of this. It almost the way Dombrowski paints it, it's as if Cora came to him, as if Dombrowski had not a thought in the world about Hanley Ramirez's vesting option or anything else.
It is bizarre because they go through all these scenarios leading up to this. This didn't come out of nowhere, and we all thought Blake Swihart was going to be the guy. They thought Blake Swihart was going to be the guy. They basically admitted that yesterday. Blake Swihart thought he was going to be the guy. But they go through all the scenarios, whether it's Nunez on the DL, Jackie Bradley being sent down, Brock Holt being sent down. And at some point, this scenario must have been brought up. Now, Dombrowski painted as, oh, my goodness, I got this call from Alex. And how about this? and how about this? And by the way, then you send him out as the number two hitter and number three hitter, which you've been doing the entire time. You send him out. So, yeah, it's out of nowhere. It was interesting. I think Sean McAdam put this in one of his stories, was talking to an executive of them protecting themselves about a grievance from the Players Association. Because what that does, you can't discount that. Because when they're asked, does the option have anything to do with this? And they say, oh, no, of course not. They can't even hint that it does. Because that will lead to a grievance from the Players Association. By doing this, by saying the manager has assessed the situation and said, for the betterment of the roster because of performance, we are cutting bait.
Yeah, here's the million-dollar question to me, though. Because Cora, to this date, really is a good player's manager. He really seems to blend in well with all the players and the like. How do the players handle this?
I think they're fine with it, but I think it's a surprise. And so the first instance you look at was reaction in the clubhouse yesterday.
Yeah.
And then how they respond on the field. You know, both were fine. I was in the clubhouse yesterday. It was, you know, they were joking around. Pedroia's back. They're all happy. They're all high-fiving. I think talking to some guys, there was shock. There was, oh, my goodness, this happened. Now, I will say this. There are guys who, Haley, maybe were closer than others. Like the Latin American guys, the Christian Vasquez of the world. How does that affect them? But you have to remember, these guys are young. I mean, these guys, remember, these guys are like, just a lot of them are just happy to be there.
But do they still see Cora as a player?
Yeah,
I got you back.
Yeah, well, I think that Cora, a big part of this is Cora, you know, staking his claim to be politically correct, right? To say, you might not like this. Like Blake Swihart, you don't like the fact that I'm playing. He said this. You're going to hate me. But I am doing this for the roster. He said this yesterday. I am doing this for the roster. This is my roster. This is how I want my roster. And he's not worrying about sort of the clubhouse dynamic. I will say this, like with Farrell last year, I thought this is where he got a lot of trouble of trying to placating a lot of corners of that clubhouse, David Price situation. And you can't do that. You just can't do that. You have to say to these guys, if they have a problem with it, if Blake Swihart has a problem, if Christian Vasquez has a problem, then they have to go in. And they have to say, hey, you know what? Why did you do this? I'll explain it. And then you go on. You can't try to placate everybody.
Is John Henry in this at all?
Yeah, he has to sign off on paying the money.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You guys know. Like, think about like the dead money they have.
No, but I'm saying the origin of the decision.
No. I mean, I think that John Henry is... Liverpool's in the race here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is there's. I don't think John Henry is saying, "Hey, here are the scenarios that we mentioned of when Pedroia comes back. Here's the roster moves." No, he has to sign off on having another $15 million worth of dead money, which, as we know, is adding up pretty substantially.
But if Charrington were still the general manager, people would say this has John Henry's name all over it.
Well, they would say Larry Aquino.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Remember, that was the part.
That was always blame Larry. What
Well,
right?
that was the weird. Yeah. That was part of the problem in that whole dynamic, which who's making which decision.
Right.
And this is the first time this has sort of happened with Dombrowski, because we're left who is making the decision, Alex Cora. When you said on the tweet yesterday and say, Dombrowski was surprised that Alex Cora surfaced this. People are saying, look it, he's throwing Alex Cora under the bus. It was Alex Cora's decision. Well, I look at it this way. It's still Dombrowski's decision. It is different from the Lucchino and Charrington.
Yeah.
And it is. Because Dombrowski at the end of the day yesterday still said,
bingo,
it is my decision.
And I think that's a tremendous improvement from what it used to be.
At least you know
even if Dombrowski's blaming Cora for it, quote unquote blaming, at least you know it's his decision, not Larry's, not John Henry's, not Tom Werner's, not somewhere else. It's in the baseball operation. It's not necessarily motivated by the ownership.
Yeah, and you have to. You can look at this whether they did it this way with Cora saying it was, you know, this is, I'm the one who surfaced this because of you're protecting yourself against a grievance. Or you can look at it this way. I know last year with the Farrell Dombrowski dynamic, it was bad toward the end. And players were saying,
really?
Yeah, players were saying that they could hear arguments and behind closed doors and so forth and so on. Well, at least this shows that maybe he's listening to his manager a little bit more than he was last year.
But I still cannot envision the scenario where Cora would actually initiate this in his second month. Is he that comfortable with Dombrowski?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
really?
I've known Alex for a long time, and that's sort of the personality. And honestly, I thought where they might hit a bump in the road with that dynamic. When I hear about the Farrell Dombrowski and Dombrowski saying, you know, getting into it with Farrell, I'm like, I know that Alex has a strong personality and strong opinions. So when he says, I think that we should do this, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, I don't necessarily buy that this just came out of nowhere.
Right.
Because they've been talking, this has been on the radar for weeks.
Well, you knew with the inevitably with Pedroia coming back that somebody was going to have.
Oh, yeah. Well, Blake Swire, how weird is this, guys? You have that flight back two nights ago, the flight back from Tampa. And Blake Swihart is on that flight, and the entire time, he admitted that I'm expecting when I get off the flight to either be called into the office or get the phone call. Basically what happened at Hanley. And to your point, Larry, you knew something was going to happen, and we had pared down the options.
Right.
Alice Cora went on Dale and Keefe, said it wasn't going to be Jackie Bradley, and it wasn't going to be Nunez on the DL. That left us with Swihart because Brock Holt wasn't getting sent down. We're like, there's only one solution here.
Mm.
Blake Swihart.
Yeah.
Until
Hanley's name never came up.
No.
There would be no possibility that anybody would have brought up Hanley Ramirez.
No, because I think that if you said this to me a week ago, I would discount it. For the reason is, normally when you have a player who's so good in April that you've been hitting second or third the entire time and think he's either second or third all but six games this year, and you have stake claim to this guy, the importance of this guy, that you would have done something, you would have eased back on him a little bit, you would have done the give him a couple days off thing. You wouldn't just say, see you later.
See you later.
But I'll come back to my initial point. And that's why I think that you cannot discount what they knew was coming around the corner, which was the happy-go-lucky Hanley, which we all love with the megaphone and the hats and the TB12 bands and everything else.
Wasn't going to be the happy-go-lucky.
That's going to take a hard, you know, right-hand turn in a hurry.
Has anybody talked to Hanley since being let go?
No, I think you put something on Instagram. No. But I'll tell you this, Larry.
Do you have access to him?
I do not have access to him. Do I? No, I don't have access. No access.
Why is that?
Why?
Don't you have access to most of the players?
I don't, because some players I don't have access to.
Wow,
Larry.
Okay.
Yes, you can't have access to everybody. Yeah. I don't always have access to everyone around here either.
Well, but that's understandable.
So when is your buddy the Laser Show going to get back into the lineup? Is that today?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah, the lineup came up. Yeah, he's there. You go.
So the Dustin Pedroia era 2018 begins today. Rob Bradford will be over there. Thanks
Headed
for the
over
info.
Now. Yeah, no, it's good to see you guys. Your smiling face.
Good to see you. You're half the man used to be.
It's all good. It's all good. Awaken 180.
Look good. I like the clothing.
Yeah, got cool, distinctive clothing.
Enough. Turn off his microphone.
Is there anything else?
All right, we're going to be back. Lots of calls to get to between now and 11 o'clock. Trenny Tomasi live from the Fens. We'll be back right after this.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
The way Major swinging the bat, the way he plays defense, and this is not about this year. Mitch was a good player last year, too, for this team. I think his numbers suffer a hit because of the injury. He did a good job. And I did feel that the roles were about to change. You saw the at-bats yesterday against one of the best lefties in the big leagues, Snell. Hit two balls the other way, running the screws. He's putting good at-bats against lefties. It seems like he's not expanding the zone. People might think it's a small sample size, but he's been doing it for a while. We felt that it was going to improve our defense, too. So I felt that was where we were going. We went there.
Alex Cora explaining the release of Hanley Ramirez, more at-bats for Mitch Moreland, whether or not it came from Alex Cora, initiated by Dave Dombrowski or somewhere else. That is the situation. We've been talking about it with you here on Sports Radio.
I think the appeal with the Players Association does have an element in there. You could see the closer you get to 497, man, they're watching like a hawk to make sure Hanley doesn't get screwed.
Yeah, but that was the one question I forgot to ask Bradford. I wanted to and didn't get it in because I was interrupted constantly by your withering cross-examination of Bradford.
But people want to hear it.
My question would be, so what? Okay, so the Players Association filed a grievance. What impact does that have? I mean, what does that mean for the Red Sox? Does that take away from their success?
They probably just don't want to deal with the aggravation.
Probably. All right. 617-779-7937. We go to Tony in Bridgewater. What's happening, Tony?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are you?
Baseball decision, my ass. it's really ridiculous. This team, you have World Series aspirations. They got the best record in baseball, and they pull this crap like they used to do back in 99, 98, worrying about K-Roll. This guy, I'm not a Hanley guy. I never liked the guy as a ball player. But he's third on the team at RBIs. He's got 29, 30, 25 runs scored. He's out hitting peppers. You know, it's unbelievable, man. Talking about they walk out at bats for a 133 hit. When has Swihart become this? What has Swihart ever done? I don't get it. Corliss pulled this up from Jump Street. When Hanley starts to struggle and he's not engaged, he needs a little kick in the ass, okay? But he kept him back third. As a matter of fact, a couple, maybe three or four nights ago, he batted a second. Instead of putting him down a seventh, getting the pressure off him, okay? And what was his reasoning all year, Cora?
That's a good point.
He's my guy. He's my guy.
Right.
The only guy who's hitting against lefties.
Yeah.
They're having a little bit of an issue against lefties. He's hitting 330 against lefties. So this is not a baseball decision.
Did the 497 hanging over his head, however, have to do with some of this?
Of course it does.
Didn't they know this before the season started? Like, the only thing I could think of is Cora went to him and said, I'm going to sit you down for a few days, and he started back to that. This is the only thing, and Cora called up upstairs. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I still don't believe. Thanks for the call, Tony. I got to move on. A lot of calls to get. I still can't believe. Yes, sitting him down makes sense. That's plausible temporarily, but thinking he's going to be such a albatross, such a toxic element now that he's not playing every day, that is going to completely rip this team apart, that I cannot buy in any shape, way, or form. Tom in Springfield, you're next on Sports Radio WEI.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, hey, guys. So one thing I'd first like to say is it almost seems like Dombrowski wanted to just end the Sherrington era because this is really like the last piece that Sherrington kind of screwed up with. Like, I mean, you know, there's obviously guys on the roster that really panned out, like Joe Kelly and all sorts of other trades and some free agency. Like, Rick Porcello was another trade. But, you know, now we have Sandoval's out, Ramirez is out, and who's the last guy? Alan Craig is out.
Yeah, Alan Craig is gone. Yes.
They still got Castillo, right?
Yeah, Castillo's still down there. I think Craig is no longer with Pawtucket.
Yeah. So, but I was really looking at the move, and it really like was a head scratcher, just like everyone else was saying. But if you think about it, it really was going to come down to, in my opinion, Moreland himself or Ramirez or Blake Swihart. But if they were to get rid of Swihart, they really wouldn't be getting what his true value was for. So,
but what is his? Where is his position?
Ramirez or
Swihart?
Swihart?
Yeah.
Like, do you mean position? Like,
well, in other words, I don't really like him catching.
No, he's going to be a first baseman DH type. He's in that mix now, and they're going to give him more at-bats. He's going to share that role a little bit more with Moreland. And obviously with Hanley doing the same thing, too many chefs spoil the broth, I guess. Thanks for the call, Tom. It's Matt in Wilmington who's next on Sports Radio WEI.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hanley's feast or famine. We know that. And
right,
he's going to have lesser of a trade value than Blake Swihart. Whether you play him as a hitting catcher, first base, or DH, you're going to be able to get more on a trade if you keep him down the road than Hanley with all the baggage and the big price tag. And now you get a chance to play Moreland and see if he can actually play the position and be consistent as he has been so far. And if not, you get the opportunity still to make a deal at the deadline to replace him or do whatever you have to do. But if
who are you going to deal? Wait a minute. Who are you going to deal?
Well, this is where Blake Swihart's at-bats that he's going to get now will come into play. If he can get a little hot streak going, now you go, look at this guy. He's young, he's cheap, and you can play him in three or four different positions.
Right now he's hitting right now he's hitting 133.
Right, but now he's going to get to play more.
Where's he going to play? Where is he going to play? First?
He can catch. He can give guys a chance the day off at first base, and he can DH.
They have that much confidence in his catching?
We're about to find out. We're about to find out. You just need him to have a few good games, and if you're a good salesman, as Dombrowski apparently is, you can chip him off.
Well, that's what it is. I think he's definitely selling us a bill of goods there. Paulie in Maine, you're next on Sports Radio WEI.
Man, I don't know what all all the stuff is about Maine. I vacation in Maine, but, you know, you know who this is.
It says Paulie in Maine.
He always puts me over. Paulie is in Maine. I thought I got to straighten out with him last week. That's all right. No problem.
Paulie's from Dedham, Matt. Paulie from Dedham. There you
Thank you. And I sit in Dedham right now, right outside the garage. Okay, quickly, here's the deal of why they get rid of Ramirez. Number one, you hit somebody that's hitting that's about to hit over 22, they're not going to give him $22 million. That's number one. He seems to be an awful hurry to stay in the lineup and get his at-bats this year. He's all of a sudden, he's got a fire under his ass so he can get paid. That's number one. He's a phony baloney guy, okay? Number two, so they're setting an example. And I'm going to tell you who they're setting an example for. And the guy that better be sleeping with one eye open because he's next. They made room. They made room for Swihart because they're not sold on Christian Vasquez. All right, he's the next Hanley Ramirez. He's become a prima donna. Just signed his contract. He's not doing crap this year. His play's falling off. That's why they're holding on to Swihart because he's the next one out the door. They said he's the big kingfish. The guy who's a prima donna, king prima donna. We're sending him out. You're next.
Yeah, he's hitting a buck.
He's paying attention. He's next.
He's hitting number a buck 90. All right, thanks for the call, Paul. I want to squeeze a couple more in before the top of the hour, making way for Trenny and Tomasi. Mark and Peabody's next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Larry, Craig, my favorite pair that will be the Full House any day of the week. The Celts, if they play Golden State and a miracle happens and they happen to beat Golden State, would you say that's the biggest upset in the history of sports with the Jets and Colts being a close second in the first Super Bowl?
Wow, that would, you know, it's funny because the Celtics, as much as you think it might be an upset, certainly without Kyrie there, the Celtics, no matter who the roster is, who the combination of players are, in the Brad Stevens era, always plays Golden State. The reason why I wouldn't say that, Mark, is because I don't think Golden State is, you know, they haven't looked good in the last couple games, obviously. They were on their way 2-1, dominating the Rockets. In the last couple of games, a lot of chinks in that armor. I'm not really sure that I'm sold so much on Golden State as being a great team. The Celtics, Larry, as much as I don't think they would win, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Mike and Canton, you're going to be the Chapman of this radio program today. Fire away, Mike.
Labor! Torres is there! Hey, listen.
How you doing?
Torres is already at age 21. He is a major impact player in baseball.
So you're thanking Theo? You're going to send a little gift out to Chicago?
You know what's great about that, Craig? They traded Chapman for him, and they got Chapman back.
Well, they had to pay for him to come back. But
so what?
You know, the deal to get Torres is absolutely brilliant. No
that
question about it.
Going down next to the Milk Pappas for Frank Robinson trade.
Baltimore and Cincinnati.
In the history of baseball.
Derek Lowe.
Hey, by the way, does that make sense to you? You have a little baseball perspective.
Yeah.
The Mets getting rid of George Foster in 86, very similar to Hanley, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's been the greatest ripoff of all time, I think you guys would agree, Milk Pappas or Frank Robinson.
Well, yeah, for people of a certain age, yes.
The Veritech Derek Lowe deal wasn't too bad either.
And Don Cricket came on the radio, and I said, you got to be kidding me.
What's this?
When Don Cricket came on the radio, it was in 1965, in the winter of 65-66, and he said, the Orioles have traded Milk Pappas for Frank Robinson, and I couldn't believe it.
And Don Cricky gave you that announcement?
It was on the radio in New York.
Yes. WOR. You know what? Guess who also worked at WOR for many years? Yours truly.
Oh, okay.
That was
me. He used to deliver the coffee.
Hey, what's wrong with this picture? Morning Sports for 30 years was Don Cricky. 20 years. He was replaced by Charlie Steiner, and I replaced Charlie Steiner. What's wrong with that picture? Cricky, Steiner, and Mustard. Oh, God.
Hey, before we go, the Red Sox have good players, but you guys are making my point. They've got head cases on that team.
Well, it's going to be a fight to the finish, Mike.
Who are the head cases?
Oh, Larry, I don't have time to go through the list, okay? They've got a lot of guys that worry about themselves, not the team.
Yeah, you got Sonny Gray going today.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. All right, thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. Call earlier next time.
It's going to be a great summer with the Yankees and Red Sox battling it out for first place. Avoid that wild card showdown. Thanks to Matt on the other side of the glass. We will see you next week at 9. Stay tuned for Trenny and Tomasi live from Fenway on Sports Radio. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.